Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today on the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're continuing on a message in spiritual warfare, and we're looking at what I would trust to be familiar passages in the Word of God. We understand that God has called us to His army, and it's an army that we are not drafted into. It's one we enlist in, but our service, if you will, continues until the Lord takes us home, our eternal furlough, if you will. But God has equipped us, and even though our life circumstances, our lifestyles may be different, if you are committed and fervent in your heart to really serve the Lord, you will have opposition. You will have attacks from the evil one. Is the more effective you are, sometimes the greater the trials and the testings. But the good news is that once we understand this is part of our earthly experience, and we can accept that. Remember, years ago we used to sing a song, "When the battles are over, we will wear a crown in the New Jerusalem." Praise God. And that is true. But for now, we can have joy and we can have peace in the midst of the battles. But beloved, sometimes that's a lifelong process, learning how to accomplish that, to manifest that same kind of peace and joy that the Apostle Paul wrote about and expressed in his beautiful epistles, the things that he endured as a apostle of the Gentiles, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the things that obviously, as he recounts them in Corinthians, they're not even listed in terms of the times he endured being, you know, beaten with rods and whipped. And we understand that time he was left for dead. But he went through so much. But he, as he progressed in his revelation and knowledge of the Lord, which he passed on to us, he could, in that Philippian jail, he could write in such a way that, or that letter to the Philippians, he was able to write and express such a joy and such a peace that was real. And so, beloved, this is a goal that we need to search after, that we can have the victory that we desire. Our spiritual character, beloved, is formed by resisting the attacks of the enemy, collectively as well as individually. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, why is that true? Because the enemy knows he is defeated. Jesus defeated him. He delegated that same authority to us. He's given us the keys of the kingdom. And when we resist him in the name of Jesus, in his authority that he has legally and rightfully given to us, he will flee because Jesus is Lord, especially over demonic realms. And so what can we do when the enemy brings trials and afflictions and battles against us? Well, we look to God's word for instruction. We use our spiritual weapons, and God will give us the victory. An important thing is to call out unto the Lord, to pray in faith, to know, and not just because trials have come your way, that you question the love of God for you personally, that you refuse any accusations of condemnation, that you're not serving God, you're not being effective for God, you're not worth God's love, for He is the accuser of the brethren. We know that. And so we have to pray in faith, knowing that we may not know how God's going to work deliverance. We may not know how God is going to bring victory or bring provision or bring answers, but we know that our God loves us. You see, that's one of the ways the enemy works to discourage you, that somehow you've sinned, you've offended God so greatly that he no longer loves you. Well, beloved, there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He may be displeased with you because of choices or actions you've made, but he's not going to love you less, and he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to forsake you. But the Holy Spirit will work and move in your life to bring you back and restore you to sweet fellowship in him. So you pray in faith. And also, Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, we're to pray in his name, to pray in the name of Jesus. Also, what's another weapon we have? Well, in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 18, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Those are the keys of the kingdom that he has given to every child of God. And so we can bind and loose, and we can use the Word of God, which is an offensive weapon of the Spirit. We see this adequately demonstrated in the life of Jesus. Remember when he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and he was there 40 days and 40 nights. And when he was tested of the enemy, this is chapter 4 of Matthew, he fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he was a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And in the succeeding two temptations, he said in verse 10, he said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So he used the Word of God. He in all of his earthly ministry, he responded as an example to us. He did not do the miracles he did as the Son of God. He did it as the Son of Man, empowered and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Remember when he was baptized and he came up out of Jordan, the heavens parted, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove, and He was being sealed for his ministry, just as we are to be born again, saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit, so we can be effective in the work of that God has called us to do. And we each have a ministry. We're all able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. We may not have a public ministry, but that does not mean our ministry is any less effective. The important thing, beloved, as you stand one day before the Lord, is how obedient were you to what he gave you to do? What he gave you to do is not what he's given me to do. Each one of us has specific tasks, callings. And with that calling, we have giftings, abilities that he has customized for each one of us to, so we can be effective and fulfill that ministry. So that's all that matters, is our obedience to the Lord. And so we can use God's word and realize that just as Jesus was effective when he quoted the word of God, it'll work for us too. Resist the devil, he will flee from you, James said. And he spoke words of truth. So we can use the word of God, which is the offensive weapon of the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. And then we can pray in agreement. Remember, as I close this broadcast, if you listen any length of time, I've always saying there's power in agreement. Jesus declared that in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 9. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And I don't believe it has to be, you don't have to be physically together. You can pray with someone on the phone. There's agreement. When we pray together, I'm praying through the media of this broadcast, as you agree, there's power in that. And so thank God. Deuteronomy 32 and 30 says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Ecclesiastes 4 and 12 says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And then another weapon that we may use is that of fasting. In Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse 21, and beloved, those of you who have listened any length of time, you know the King Authorized King James Version is my Bible. I feel that's been around for 400 years. There's an anointing on that, and an accuracy to the truth that I feel that it expresses things that I feel the Holy Spirit wants revealed. Some of these new translations take out a portion of this verse, because that verse 21 says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by fasting and prayer. I remember I was very young in the Lord, and I was away from California and visiting a sick relative, and I thought I had to have some Christian fellowship, so I went to a particular pastor, mainline denomination. I mentioned Mark 16, and he said, oh no, he said, you know, these signs shall follow all that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, they'll speak with new tongues, if they drink any deadly thing. He said, oh no, that's not in the Word of God. That's not in the original translation. Well, beloved, I think you can judge for yourself if you read the scripture. There's power in fasting. Perhaps at some point, in the not too distant future, maybe we can go on that subject. But these are the spiritual weapons God has given to us, and we can have that assurance that if we do all that we know to do, God will give us the victory. And sometimes we have to stand. Having done all, stand therefore. So, beloved, if you're going through difficulties or trials or battles right now, there is power in agreement. I invite you to write, share whatever those needs are, and know that this is a personal ministry. I'm grateful that, you know, we don't have hundreds and thousands of people on our mailing list, because I could never handle that. But I'm able to handle those who are a part of my UCM spiritual family. So I invite you to write, and I will pray for you personally. And should you email, I invite you to include your mailing address so that I can respond personally to you. I will confirm receipt and I will pray, but if you'd like a personal response, I ask you to share your mailing address. I love you. I pray for you every day, my radio family, UCM partners. I'm so grateful for your faithful partnership and support and prayer. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.